sure I've got it all on. There we go. Can you hear me okay? Okay, good evening and welcome to worship on this Feast of Christ the King. And I've got a couple of announcements that I want to share for you, but first we're going to begin with our gathering song, Come Thou Almighty King. Two verses. To worship and those who are worshiping with us online virtually as well. A few announcements. First of all, following our worship tonight, we'll have an information sharing time where I'll give you a summary report from the surveys that were recently turned in from our congregation. Also, tonight is our final night of Hold an Evening Prayer for a couple of months now, so we've been doing that, and I hope that you've enjoyed our Hold an Evening Revised Edition prayer service on Saturday nights. Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, is a men's Bible study. It'll be in person here at 11 a.m. And then that evening, we'll be having worship for Thanksgiving Eve at 6 p.m. We'll also be offering it virtually as well on our website and also on our Facebook page. So please take note of that. Those who are here will be having Holy Communion served at the close of the service. And then we'll also have the distribution of store-bought pie, individual containers, one piece, for each person, and then, good Lord willing, we'll have enough pie that you can then take a second piece to perhaps give to a family member or to a friend or a neighbor that might be experiencing some low times this Thanksgiving feast. This coming Sunday at 5 p.m., the implementation team will be looking at your survey results, and they'll be getting back feedback to you as well. So that's tomorrow night at 5, and then we also have membership covenants that'll be available next Saturday, and that'll be Advent 1, the beginning of a brand new church year. So next week, everybody will be saying, Happy New Year! And tonight is New Year's Eve. So some have already turned in their covenants for 2021, and I thank them for being proactive with that. I'll be on vacation here at home for the next week after Thanksgiving Day. And so please take note of that. Next Saturday then, a good friend of mine, Dallas Groton, will be our guest preacher. I think those are the announcements that need to be highlighted. I invite you to join me with prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have crowned your Son as King, and by him will renew your whole creation. May the families of the earth now torn apart and yoked by sin find liberty in him and be subjected to his gentle rule. Grant this, we pray, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I invite you to rise then for our Hold an Evening Prayer. Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
A light no darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness.
And shine within your people here.
Yeah. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Triune God, we praise your name. You are worthy of all glory. Thankful hearts proclaim your grace. Blessed Jesus, Lord and Savior, mark us with your cross again. Fill us with the Spirit's power. Resurrect us from the dead. Joyous light of heavenly glory, loving glow of God's own face, you who sing creation's story, shine on every land and race. Now as evening falls around us, we shall raise our songs to you. God of daybreak, God of shadows, come and light our hearts anew. In the stars that grace the darkness, in the blazing sun of dawn, in the light of peace and wisdom, we can hear your quiet song. Love that fills the night with wonder, love that warms the weary soul, love that bursts all chains asunder, set us free and make us whole. You who made the heaven's splendor, every dancing star of night, make us shine with gentle justice. Let us each reflect your light. Mighty God of all creation, gentle Christ who lights our way, loving Spirit of salvation, lead us on to endless day. The Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From old you have led your people by night and day. May the light of your Christ make our darkness bright. For your word and your presence are the light of our pathways, and you are the light and life of all creation.
Amen.
Congregation, may be seated for the psalmody. Psalm 141, women on group 1 following Julie, and then men with the echo, group 2 following me.
Up like incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as an offering to you. Oh God, I call to you.
Oh God, I call to you.
Oh,
come to me now. When I cry to you,
let my prayer rise up.
Let my prayer rise up like incense before you. offering to you.
Keep watch within me, God.
Keep watch within me, God. Deep in my heart, may the light of your love be burning bright.
Let my prayer rise up.
Let my prayer rise up. Like incense before you, the lifting up of my hand as an offering to you.
All praise to the God of
all praise to the God of all, Creator of life. All praise be to Christ and the Spirit.
Let my prayer rise
up. Let my prayer rise up. Like incense before you. The lifting up of my hand as an offering to you.
Let your loving kindness descend upon us, O Lord, and let the incense of our repentant prayer ascend before you, that with purified minds we may sing your praises with the church on earth and the whole heavenly host, and may glorify you forever and ever.
Amen.
We prepare our hearts for the hearing of God's word.
The first reading is from Psalm 95, beginning with verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying,
Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Earlier today, I posted a children's message called Surprise, because there are surprises in our gospel reading for tonight, to be sure. It's posted on our Emmanuel Facebook page for parents and grandparents to watch with young children. Let's sing together three verses of Crown Him with Many Crowns. Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. Judgment is unavoidable and inescapable. And in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is not afraid to talk about the last judgment, the day of the Lord. In fact, he has many parables that are called judgment parables. On this final weekend of our church year, where we've been walking through and living with the Gospel of Matthew and the words of Jesus, we get a chance tonight to see how it all comes together. And the question is, when, Lord? When, Lord? When is the day of the Lord going to come? And will it be a day of blessing or curse? When, Lord, is the separation of the sheep and the goats going to take place? When is the separation of the good fish and the bad fish going to take place? The separation of the wheat and the tares, the day of the Lord. When is it going to happen? The disciples want to know, and Jesus says, in a very short phrase, no one knows but the Father, and he's not telling. When, Lord? Judgment is inescapable and unavoidable. And we've been traveling throughout the Gospel of Matthew, and we've been hearing all of these parables about the end times. You and I, my friends, are living in the end times as we wait for the promised return of our Lord. There's no surprise about that. Jesus said the Son of Man will come again. And for 2,000 years, in the creeds of our church, we've been confessing this truth. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate, died and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again. just like he promised. And he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again. Did you hear that? Not he might come again, but he will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. His kingdom will have no end. This is a good shepherd that doesn't just reign for a short time, but he's the ruler of the kings of the earth, and he rules forever and ever. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb, who takes away the sins of the world. We know this final weekend of the church year to be called Christ the King. In fact, nowadays they've changed it to the reign of God because, well, Christ the King kind of sounds patriarchal and masculine, and we need to be gender neutral. And of course, kingship and all that kind of royalty stuff is not something a lot of people are familiar with, and so just the reign of Christ. But did you know that originally the last Sunday of the church year was called Judgment Sunday? I kid you not. It makes sense in light of Jesus' final sermon in the Gospel of Matthew, which is the separation of the sheep and the goats. On the last day, the day of the Lord, the day of judgment, there will be a separation. It's been promised. We call that judgment. And yet, let's be careful, because the word judgment in the Greek language literally means krisis or crisis. And a crisis, as we've experienced this past year during COVID-19, is a turning point for better or for worse. In other words, when Jesus, who is the one and only judge, when he comes as promised, he's the judge, he's the jury, and he gets to decide who's on his right, who's on his left, who's blessed, who's cursed, who gets to come and enter the joy of the Master, and who enters the fires that are prepared for the devil and all his angels. When, Lord? A few years back, when I was pastoring in University Place, Washington, we invited a pastor from Namibia to come, and we hosted him. And it was then that I found out kind of the history of the reign of Christ and Christ the King. You see, in Namibia, for example, this last Sunday of the church year, or this last weekend, is still called Judgment Sunday. And they have this text from Matthew 25, our gospel reading for tonight. And I found out, as he was our guest preacher, that it's also known as Excommunication Sunday. In other words, if there are people who refuse to repent of their sin, they are removed from the church body so that they can be restored through confession and forgiveness. So we might want to kind of tone things down and just call it the reign of Christ. But in Namibia, Lutherans still call it Judgment Sunday. That's what it was formerly known as. So what is it that we're supposed to learn or to hear when Jesus speaks parable after parable about judgment? Well, let's just do a little recap, because we've been living with Matthew for the whole year, and we recall that there are five teaching discourses or five sermons in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus preaches, the first being the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, "Come, O blessed, you're blessed if you're persecuted for the name of Jesus, when people hate you and revile you, when you suffer, you're blessed." And then he says, words familiar to us from the baptismal rite, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And then Jesus, at the end of that teaching discourse, the Sermon on the Mount, has that parable about the two builders. One's wise and one's foolish. One just simply says, "Well, let's just build something that looks attractive on the sand." The other says, "No, you got to have a good foundation. Let's have a rock." And Jesus says that the storms are going to come to the wise and the foolish, those that build on the sand and those that build on the rock. But only those who build on the rock, Jesus, the rock of our salvation,
will endure the storms that come. And then we have the second sermon of Jesus, Matthew 10, where Jesus says, look around, you see what I see? The fields are white for harvest. People are walking away from God and church during this COVID-19, and others are being brought to the faith. What an opportunity, Jesus says, but the laborers are few. So what are we supposed to do? Pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest will send out more laborers into his field so that people can be saved. And so the disciples pray, and they become the answer to their prayers, and Jesus sends them out in pairs. And they come back, and there's been hostility and there's been rejection because they got sent out like sheep in the midst of wolves. But nevertheless, they rejoice because they saw Satan fall like lightning. And Jesus, remember what he says? He says, don't rejoice that Satan is falling like lightning. That's to be expected. No, you know what your real joy is? That the Father has written your name into his book of life. In other words, you don't have to worry about the judgment because you're one of his sheep. And I'm your good shepherd, he says. And then we got to Matthew 13, which was Jesus preaching about the kingdom of heaven, one parable after another. What are you supposed to do about the enemy who sows tares in the midst of a good wheat field? What are you supposed to do when you go out fishing? Jesus says, just catch as many fish as possible, and God will take care of the separation on the last day. And then that brought us to Matthew 18, where Jesus was preaching about forgiveness and what it means to live in the body of Christ, a reconciled and reconciling community of faith that takes care of each other and that is just excited about every opportunity that comes our way to share the gospel. How often must I forgive? Jesus says to Peter and to each of us, put your calculator away. There is no limit to the forgiving Spirit of God. Well, that brings us then to the final sermon, chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew's gospel that we've been looking at for the past few weeks. Jesus comes out of the temple and he says, you know, the day is coming. Because remember, this is Holy Week, and it's only 2 days until Passover. And what Jesus has promised is about to happen. He's going to be crucified on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and on the third day, rise from the dead. He's coming out of the temple, and he says, we're in the end times. And not one stone is going to be left on top of another. And what do the disciples say? When? When, Lord? When's it all going to happen? And Jesus says, it's not for you to know times and seasons that have been fixed by the Father's authority. No one knows, not even the Son of Man. But the Father knows. So what you need to do is wait well. In the interim, as we wait for the promised return of our Lord, we need to wait well. To watch. And to seize the opportunities that God puts right in front of our faces, day after day. You see, Paul learned when he wrote to the church at Philippi that they couldn't lock up the gospel. Oh, they could put him in prison, they could put him in chains under house arrest, but instead of muzzling him, they gave him a megaphone. And so people are seeing that there's opportunity every day to preach the good news of Jesus that finds the lost and saves the unsaved. What an opportunity. And so those are the four parables that Jesus tells. The first one he says, well, it's like a master that leaves and he says, I'm going to put you, my servant, in charge of everything. So what's the servant going to do? Well, the master is going to come back. There will be a performance review, if you will. And so the servant has, well, a turning point for better or for worse. It's a judgment, I suppose you could call it. Is he going to take care of the other servants and give them their food in due season? Is he going to manage things well? Or is he going to be wicked and drink excessively and mistreat the other servants? You see, when the master comes back, there's either going to be commendation or condemnation. That's just a short parable. And then the next parable Jesus tells is more familiar. It's about those 10 virgins, the 10 bridesmaids that are chosen and selected to light the way for the procession and the feast of the bridegroom. Talk about an opportunity, well, that doesn't come around every day. Five are wise, five are foolish. Five say, you know what? You never know, he could get delayed. We better take some extra oil. We better play it safe. But five are foolish and they say, nah, we're going to take a chance. The problem is they don't take a chance for heaven's sake. So what happens? Well, at midnight the cry comes. The bridegroom is on his way. And the five wise trim their lamps and put some more oil in. And the five foolish say, we're almost out of oil. Give us some of yours. What do we learn? Well, faith must be shared, but it can't be borrowed. They have to go and find some oil. And while they're gone, the bridegroom comes. And they miss this opportunity to participate in the wedding feast of the Lamb. And there's just sadness. When they finally do show up, the procession is over, everyone's partying, and they go pounding on the door and say, let us in! And who meets them at the door? The bridegroom. And the words that he speaks are haunting. Depart from me. I don't know you. I don't want anything to do with you. Wow. And then last week, the judgment parable about the talents. Once again, a master, a king, he's going away on a journey. We don't know how long he's going to be gone. He'll be back. And he takes a risk that I can't even imagine. He takes three of his servants and he distributes all of his wealth into their care for them to steward. Because he knows them. And he gives to each one what they're capable of doing with it, according to their abilities. He sets them up for success, not for failure. It's absolutely amazing. One gets five talents, probably a sum of money worth like 100 years of work, billions of dollars. The second servant gets two talents, and that servant, well, that's maybe like 40 years of income. And then the last one gets one talent. And then when the master comes home, he's all excited. Tell me what you've been doing while I've been away. And the one with five says, well, I took some risks because I know you. And I doubled it. Now I've got 10. And the one with two says, I took some risks because I know you. And he doubled it to 4. And the master says to both of them, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little. Now I'm going to put you in charge of a lot. Enter the joy of your master. But what about that servant who had one talent worth about 20 years worth of work and labor? That's a lot of money. A talent was a lot of money. It was a lot of entrustment. He says, well, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you haven't sown. And so I buried your talent. Here, take what is yours. You see, two of the servants lived by faith. One lived by fear. Two of the servants got a commendation. The final one, the master was not pleased, and he said, you did what? You didn't take a chance? You didn't take a risk? You could have at least put my money in with the bankers so I would have gotten interest. Depart from me into the fire that's prepared for the angel, for the devil and all of his angels. You see, judgment. Turning points, for better or for worse. Which brings us to Judgment Sunday, the Reign of Christ Sunday, the last weekend of the church year. Which brings us to Christ the King, the one who reigns forever and ever in Matthew 25. We call it the Last Judgment, the separation of the sheep and the goats. But first, a story. This is a story about a man by the name of John Jackson, and he serves in Orlando, Florida, at a food distribution site. And in this particular story, he says, "I saw the face of Jesus." He said, "We were distributing food, and the line, because of all the crises going on in our country during these hard days, have gotten exceedingly long, lots more people desperate and in need of help." He said, "So it was a really long line, and I could tell that we were running out of food. And at the very end of the line was this little girl, probably about 12 years old. And he thought to himself," John says, I don't know if we're going to have any food left by the time she gets to the front of the line, but this little girl wasn't worried. He said, "I noticed that every once in a while she was looking across the street where there were three little kids huddled together. I didn't know if she was responsible for them or knew them or if they were siblings, but she kept watching them. And we didn't have a lot of food to give out. We gave people some rice and some canned goods and some fresh fruit. And it was getting slimmer and slimmer. But this little girl, this 12-year-old, she just had a smile on her face. And finally, when she got to the front of the line, John Jackson said, it was as I suspected. All we had left was one banana. She took it and said, thanks. She had a smile on her face, and she was so grateful. And then he watched her go across the street. And on the other side were those three small little kids. She took this banana and she divided it into three pieces. And she placed a piece into the hand of those three small children. And then she took the banana peel and she licked the inside of it, which was the gift for herself. I saw the face of Jesus," John Jackson said. He said, "We are so accustomed of judging others rather than looking in the mirror and judging ourselves." He said, we're so accustomed to thinking that we know who the sheep are and who the goats are and who the blessed are and who the cursed are and who's going to be spending eternity with God and who's going to be spending eternity without God. But that day, God reminded me of Matthew 25, John Jackson said, that the judgment belongs entirely to Jesus. He will come again, and he will judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. When, Lord? We want to know timetables. Jesus says, when you do it to the least of these, in my name, you do it to me and for me. The sheep and the goats, they're not always easy to tell apart. Palestinians or Israelis, you know, that take care of sheep, that took care of sheep 2,000 years ago, they're quite different. I mean, sheep are kind of docile, where if you've been around some of those little goats, they can get kind of bucky. They don't like to be fenced in. They're kind of disruptive. They think the grass is greener on the other side. Sheep, on the other hand, the sheep that belong to Jesus, they hear his voice and they follow him. Sheep and goats, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the foundation prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was sick, I was in prison. You ministered to me. When, Lord? We don't remember. Depart from me, you cursed ones, into the fires prepared for the devil and all of his angels, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where there will be eternal darkness. For I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was naked, I was homeless, I was sick, I was in prison, and you didn't minister to me. When, Lord? You see, there's no surprise about Jesus' death on the cross.
There's no surprise about his rising on the third day. He promised it. There's no surprise about the second coming. There's no surprise about the last judgment. It's in God's word. But the surprise in our gospel reading for tonight is that those who did it and those who didn't do it didn't remember and didn't recognize Jesus. That's the surprise. They didn't know that they were doing it for Jesus. Now, it'd be really easy to say, oh, I thought we were saved by faith. That means we're saved by works righteousness, good works. And it was Martin Luther 500 years ago who said, we are saved by faith alone, but if faith is alone, it is not saving faith. Saving faith always produces fruit for the glory of God and for the good of the neighbor. And as we do it to the least of these, in Jesus' name, it is in fact saving faith that bears fruit for the neighbor. When, Lord? When's it all going to happen? We want to know. We want to calculate it. And instead, Jesus says, just keep your eyes open because you're going to see me. Saving faith always sees me, and it seizes the opportunity to share the grace of God and the salvation of our Lord. One final story. There's a Sunday school teacher who's known for coming up with really dynamic and persuasive illustrations. I mean, he's really good. And one Sunday morning, Sally, who is in his Sunday school class, says he put up on this big bulletin board a target. And he had a whole bunch of darts. And we started the class, and he said, there's got to be somebody that you don't like very well. There's probably somebody that has hurt you, that has done nasty things to you, that has been hateful to you, and you don't like. Maybe you'd like to even get even with them. He said, here's what we're going to do today. I want you to draw a picture of that person. And then I'm going to have you one at a time put your picture up here over the target. And then I'm going to let you throw darts at it. And the kids were excited. Sally was excited. They all had to wait their turn. One after another, the pictures were there, and they were throwing the darts as hard as they could at these enemies, at the people that they disliked, at the people that had hurt them. And then it was Sally's turn, and the teacher looked at his watch and said, ah, we're not going to have time. And she was so terribly disappointed. And the teacher went over to the target, you know, where the pictures of these kids' tormentors had been put up there. And he took the target down. And behind the target was the picture of the face of Jesus, where the darts had torn and ripped away at his face and his eyes. And the teacher only said one thing. As you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. As you do it to the least, you do it to me. When, Lord? We don't remember. We don't recall. Because saving faith always produces fruits to the praise of God and to the good of those who are in need. And we do it in the name of Jesus for the love of Christ. So what about that last day and living in the end times and living well? Well, you be the judge of yourself in terms of how you praise God and how you serve your neighbor, as I too must do with my own life. And then remember this so that you don't have to worry about being surprised on that day. That the good shepherd knows his sheep by name, and no one can snatch them out of his hands. Remember the words of St. Paul. There is now, therefore, no condemnation
for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
An angel went from God to a town called Nazareth to a virgin whose name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored, the Lord is with you. You shall bear a son, and his name shall be Jesus, the chosen one of God Most High." And Mary said, "I am the servant of the Lord. I live to do God's will. My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. You have looked with love on your servant here and blessed me all my life through. Great and mighty are you, O Holy One. Strong is your kindness evermore. How you favor the weak and lowly one, humbling the proud of heart.
You have cast the mighty down from their thrones and uplifted the humble of heart.
You have filled the hungry with wondrous things and left the wealthy no part. Great and mighty are you, O Holy One. Strong is your kindness,
strong your love.
As you promised to Sarah and Abraham, kindness forevermore. My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. You have looked with love on your servant here and blessed me all my life through. Glory be to God the Father, and to Jesus, Son of God. Glory be to God the Spirit, ever three and ever one. As it was in the beginning, shall be now and evermore. With our hearts we magnify thee, with one voice we sing, Amen. Our offering basket is in the back for those who wish to support the ministry of Emmanuel or other online options as well. I remind you that in the days ahead, we still have a handful of Thanksgiving cards that remain. If you want to send out one to someone, just pick one up before you leave tonight. And then also keep in mind that there are opportunities in the week ahead to phone somebody on the phone and share God's peace with them. There's a lot of people that are battling a lot of things during these days, a lot of sorrow and sadness, disease and illness, and you may be the gift that God has chosen to offer them some hope and a prayer and the mercy of our Lord. I invite you to rise as you're able for our litany and closing prayers.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
In peace, we pray to you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For peace and salvation, we pray to you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For peace between nations, for peace between peoples.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For us who are gathered to worship and praise you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all of your servants who live out your gospel.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all those who govern that justice might guide them.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all those who labor in service to others.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Grant weather that nourishes all of creation.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Keep watch on our loved ones and keep us from danger.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all the beloved who rest in your mercy.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Help us, comfort us all of our days.
Keep us, hold us, gracious God.
Gracious God, Father of us all, have mercy on us, and through the power of your Holy Spirit, enable us to pray in your strong Son's name. Lord, we pray that you would be with Nancy Webster in her battle with stomach cancer. We pray for Dan Grimsrud as he heals and recovers from his rotator cuff surgery. We pray, Lord, your blessings upon Vicky Mulvihill. It's been a hard week for her, and we pray, Lord, that as she recovers from her knee replacement, that you would be tender and merciful to her. We pray, Lord, for Pam Deacon Joyner in ICU, and we pray, Lord, that you would heal her in your mercy. We pray for all who are battling cancer. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, for new life, for Bethany and Steve Solom, for the three children that you had already given them, and now baby Ronan. We ask your blessings upon this new child, Lord, that he might be raised in the faith. Lord, all these people that we're praying for, we entrust into your care, and we pray, Lord, that we may see your face in them. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Receive the blessing. Let us bless the Lord.
Praise and thanks to God.
May God the Father bless us and keep us. May Jesus be the light of our lives. May the Spirit of truth be our guide and path for all of our days. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our sending song, Jesus Shall Reign, two verses.
Jesus shall reign wherever the sun does its successive journeys run. His kingdom strength.